So those are some announcements. Let's pray for our country, our president. We need to really pray for him. Sometimes he doesn't always seem to have a grasp of things and is being told what to say, and that's kind of concerning to many. You hear that on the news media as well. But he is our president, and we can pray for him. And let's pray that God will give him wisdom. Let's pray for wisdom for those who are helping him and his handlers, as they call him. But he is our leader, and we are to pray. I wanted to read from Isaiah 44 and verse 8 says, "Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee that from this time I have declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." So he is our God. There is no God beside him. In Isaiah 45, verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. And Cyrus was a pagan king, and yet God called him his anointed, his servant. So thus says the Lord to my anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gate, and the gate shall not be shut. So though he was a pagan king, yet God was using him and controlling him. And we believe that that is always the case. He says, "I am the Lord," in verse 5 of Isaiah 45. "I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me." In verse 6, "that thou mayest know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, and create evil," or calamity. "I, the Lord, do all these things." In other words, and we can read many other verses, Isaiah 45, 12 and 18, and Acts chapter 4, verse 26 and following. But the point is, God is in control. Do I hear something? Is that snow? That's rain, isn't it? Okay. As you know, my hearing's not the greatest, so. Okay, there it's going away. So, for those of you praying for rain, there we go. So, pray. We need to pray. By the way, our flag is at half staff in memory of those who lost their lives in the Afghanistan disaster. So it's in memory of those 13 service members, plus many others who were killed back on Thursday, I believe it was. So let's pray for them. Pray for Nancy. Nancy's going to be having, of course, as you know, she's had a tumor in her brain, and she's going to be having brain surgery on Tuesday because of this mass in the brain. So that'll be at Wesley Medical Center. So pray much for Nancy. We know this is very concerning, but we know she and Jim are trusting the Lord through all of this, and God's giving them peace in the midst of the storm. Also, we will want to be helping them with meals, and we'll be doing that, and I believe Amy is going to be in charge of that. So see Amy if you'd like to help with meals for Jim and Nancy in the near future. Pray for Paul Orth. Paul has had a rough time. He had knee surgery recently, I think on Friday, and his leg is swollen. He's going through physical therapy, and he said it's a whole lot sore. It's a whole lot sore. But the worst problem is his bladder. He's having bladder problems. His bladder, the way he put it is, his bladder has fallen asleep. And so it's not working right. He has a catheter, and he is very uncomfortable. He has an appointment tomorrow, and they're going to do a study to see if the bladder is working. So pray for Paul. He has had trouble with his bladder in the past, and it's not pleasant. Pray for Roxy, who's battling cancer. Pray for John and Kayla Keck. Of course, John is, we have hired as assistant part-time assistant pastor, and they're hoping to move here the end of September, so pray for them, and the details will all be worked out. I pray for Heidi. She had carpal tunnel surgery this past Friday on her other hand, and pray for healing for that. And also, Ruth Westfall asked us to pray for her neighbor, Audrey, who has stage 4 cancer, and she lives near Ruth. She's a good friend of Ruth's in Lindsberg, so pray for Audrey. So that's what I have. If there's anything else, a reminder that our offering plates are in back. You may give your offering to the plates in back, and we're going to hear a piano special this morning now, which is hymn number 83, Guide Me Thou, O Great Jehovah. So thank you, Charlotte. Thank you all. Thank you, ladies. I invite you to turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And we can pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president. There's a lot we can do, but we can pray. We can't change the situation on the world stage, but we can pray. We can't fix things in Afghanistan, but we can talk to our neighbor. We can share a verse of scripture with a friend or a family member. We can seek to win someone with the gospel. That's what we need to be doing, is doing the important things. We'll leave the politicians and take care of the politics and so on, but our duty is to serve Jesus Christ and serve him with joy. We read in John 17 and verse 11, John 17, 11, beginning there, Jesus talks about keeping us in his name. He says, I've kept them in thy name, verse 12, and those that you gave me I have kept. And in verse 13, he talks about having his joy fulfilled in ourselves. Verse 14, he's given us his word. Verse 15, he prays that the Father would keep us from evil. Verse 17, he asked to sanctify us through his truth. In verse 18, he has sent us into the world. And then verse 20, he prays, he continues his prayer. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now he's praying for you, because you are one who has now believed on him through the word of those who shared the word with you. And he prays that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time in this passage this morning. Speak to our hearts. Work in our hearts, Lord. Draw us close to yourself. We need you, Lord. We need to give ourselves to you. And Lord, I pray for our country again. I pray for our president. I pray for our leaders. I pray for our troops, that your hand of protection would be upon them. And Lord, I pray for those around us that need Jesus Christ as our Savior. I pray that they would be saved. And help us, Lord, to each be the light that we ought to be a city set on a hill, and a light that is not hidden under a bushel basket, but we might shine forth, that all may see the Lord Jesus Christ, his power to save. Bless now as we continue. May you be honored and glorified. Help me as I preach. Help us as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have had the privilege in this passage, as we've looked at a number of times now, to enter into the Holy of Holies with Christ as we hear his word spoken to his disciples just hours away from his great work on the cross. He's headed to Calvary, to Golgotha, where he will lay down his life. He will lay it down. No man takes his life from him, but he lays it down for your sins and my sins. And we see how he promises to keep us securely. And he keeps us forever. And we will never, never, never be lost. It's impossible, because we've already seen that we have been given to the Son by the Father. And if the Son gave you to the Father, you are given. And you won't be lost. If he gives us to the Son, we are forever guaranteed given, that we might never be lost. He keeps us forever, and we'll never be lost. Years ago, our family was up at McPherson State Lake. I don't remember what the occasion was. Sometimes we go up there and roast hot dogs and just have a nice time in the evening. And I remember I was walking along the pathway down the drive with Danny and Micah by my side. They were like 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And it was dark out. It was dark, but we had enough light to see our way. And I remember one of them, I think it was Micah, I'm going to embarrass him here, and he said to his brother Danny, his younger brother Danny, says, "Danny, we won't get lost because we're with Dad." And they were thinking, you know, what if we get lost? No, we won't get lost because we're with Dad. You see, we won't get lost because God is looking out for us, because we are with our Lord, and we've been given to him, and he keeps us forever. And if he doesn't keep us forever, then how can he be God? He can't be. Because he promises to keep us. And if God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. Mark it down. Write it down. Remember it. Don't forget it. How can he be God if he keeps us not forever? It is his promise, and God cannot go back on a promise. It's an impossibility. He says in Isaiah 46, verse 9, "I am God, And there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times and things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. I'm God, and God won't go back on his promise. So when he says, I will keep you, he will keep you. You say, well, what if I lose it? You won't lose it. God won't let you. Well, again, you might lose it, but God won't lose you. God won't lose you. Yeah, I lose it. I lose it a lot. But God hasn't lost me. We are kept by the power and grace of Jesus Christ. Don't forget it. You are kept. You will not be lost. Say, well, I can lose it. No, you can't. You can't. He's got a hold of you. And if you're in God's hand, you can't pry his fingers off of you. You are held. And in verse 13, we're told that we have full joy in Christ. It's ours for the taking. It's given to us to take and enjoy. God wants us to have his joy fulfilled in ourselves. We are hated by the world, or we should be hated by the world. And that's wonderful, because then we are all the more loved by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are not of the world, but we are of our Father in heaven. The world loves its own, but despises those who do not walk in darkness, but walk in the light. And that's you, right? It should be. Last time in verse 17, we heard this request from Jesus to the Father on our behalf, that we be sanctified through thy truth. God would have us to be sanctified, which we learn means set apart. He would have us to be set apart from the lies of the devil and of the world to the glorious liberating truth, which truth makes us free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We read Galatians 5. Do you appreciate what is given you by Christ? Liberty, freedom from sin, liberty from Satan, power to overcome. Do you thank him? Do you thank him often for this liberty, this freedom from sin and sin's penalty, and for the peace and the joy that has become your everyday experience, right? Every day you have peace and joy. It's yours. God's given it to you. You say, well, I haven't had that lately. Well, okay. Who's the problem? Not God. Not God. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And in verse 18, and as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. God the Father sent the Son into the world. And he sent him in order to be able to live on earth as a human being. Christ lived as a human being, as human as you are, and experiencing all the weaknesses and temptations of a human being, and identifying with us in our human nature, yet all the while without a taint of sin, not even a smidgen of sin. He was also sent in the world with a mission to preach the gospel, and he went about doing good and preaching the good news. We read in Mark 1:14, now after that John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into the Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. I love that. Jesus came preaching the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And that's our message, as was Christ's message to those around us. Repent. Turn. We're going this way, and repent means I just turn around and I go to the Lord. Repent. Turn. And believe the gospel. He was sent into the world, and so he came preaching. He was sent, and so he went. In verse 18, he says, and as thou hast sent me, even so have I sent them into the world. Jesus is saying, As the Father sent me, I have sent them. We are sent. And so there we went. If we're sent, there we went, right? We go for Jesus sends us. And so have I also sent them into the world. Turn to John 20. John 20. John 20 and verse 21, we read, then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. At this very moment, he's assembled with the disciples. They are assembled with doors shut for fear of the Jews, who are gloating in their triumph over Jesus as dead. They killed him. He's dead. He's in the tomb, so they thought. But to that world which will hate and persecute and kill them, as it hated and persecuted and killed him, they are sent. They're sent right back into that wicked world to declare forgiveness, mercy, love, peace, as he declared, as he had declared them to every heart that doesn't harden itself against them. And they are defined in his presence, as he had ever found in the Father's presence, the support which will ever bring peace to their own hearts. They are sent. We're sent. We're sent. Not pampered. We're not, they're not pampered, babied, coddled, comforted. They're sent right into the lion's den. Right into the ferociousness of the lion's den. They're sent into the fire and furnace. They're sent to the banks of the Red Sea. They're sent to the edge of the flooding Jordan River. And sometimes they pause and say, what am I going to do now? And God says, follow me. Follow me. We're sent by God. We've got a mission. We've got a job to do. God didn't save you so that you can take a nap all day on a soft feather mattress. Instead, God delights to give you a thorn in the flesh. Yeah, you wonder, why is it so hard? That's why God gave you a thorn in the flesh, which is far better. Because a thorn is a sign that God loves you. And the sharper the thorn, the greater his love, the greater his grace. So the thorn is a sign of his love and care for you. And far better to die in the battle for truth than to sleep silently in the grave of apathy and indifference. And so many are asleep today. God says, awake and put on the armor of God, right? We too often sleep silently in the grave of apathy and indifference. We sing in the hymn, shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? You're a soldier, so you've been drafted. You're drafted into the army, and you have all of God's military might at your disposal. Now, some reason we lost a bunch of military equipment to Taliban over in Afghanistan. It's like, how does this happen? Well, God's given you all of his military might, and you're not going to lose it. So get in the battle. Get in the game. Go fight. Yeah, you go fight. For you're in this war, like it or not, and you're on the winning side, so you might as well like it. You're in it to win it, and you take your marching orders from your commander-in-chief, who is God. Now, the commander-in-chief of our military is President Joe Biden, but the ultimate commander-in-chief is our God, and we go because we're sent. You know, when a soldier of the United States Army is sent into combat, what's he do? He goes, well, I got to think this over. I don't know. I just don't feel like it. Not this battle. Not this war. I'm going to wait till time is right. No, that's not what he does. When a soldier of the U.S. Army is sent into combat, he goes. And there's a number of you here who you went because you were told to go. And you went into the battle, or you were prepared to go. And if you had been called to go, you would have gone. You wouldn't have gone. He may not want to go. He knows he may be killed if he goes. He may be scared to death, as many of our soldiers are. But you never know it. You never know it. But they go. He goes because he's sent by one higher than he is. He's sent by the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States of America. And he goes because it's a privilege. He or she counts it a privilege to serve the people of the USA. It's his honor to serve and fight for the freedom that we enjoy as citizens of this country. And he is willing, and he is so very willing, and it's amazing. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling, but he is so very willing to lay his life down, to die for his country. And if called upon to do it, he will die. And we recently had 13 soldiers die defending the freedoms of those in Afghanistan and of our country as well. Willing to die. And if a man can go into battle, sometimes fighting, many times fighting, what he knows is a useless war, and yet he goes anyway, and he knows it's a useless war, how much more can we go into battle for the Lord of hosts, knowing that we have a higher cause, a righteous cause, a good cause, the cause of Jesus Christ, no less, the cause of souls perishing, the cause of the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So quit whining. I'm talking to Terry Post here. Quit whining and moaning and groaning and complaining about how hard it is. But we do that, don't we? Man, we're a sorry lot of complainers sometimes, aren't we? You ever stop and think about it? Through any given day, how much of that day was spent complaining compared to how much of that day was spent rejoicing and glorying in the Lord? And that's a lot better route to take. You and I have souls to snatch from the fires of hell. That's where it's hard. Hell is what's hard. And we go tell someone anyway what happened to us when God saved us. We do that because we are sent. You are sent. Therefore, you must go. We put on our combat gear and we go into the battle. Remember David? David, in sizing up the so-called battle that his brothers and fellow Israelites were fighting with Goliath, he went up there and he said, there's no battle. Nobody's fighting. Why isn't anyone fighting? And he saw that there was nothing but fear on the side of the good guys, so he jumped in and he said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 29 and other verses, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And again, that's why our soldiers go into battle. There's a cost, defending freedom. He said, let no man's heart fail because of him. My servant will go fight with this Philistine. He's just a lowly, rotten Philistine. God will deliver me. And this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. That's the battle you're in. It's the Lord. It's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle, and we can fight in that battle because it's the Lord's. It's the Lord's, and we will give you into our hands. And David ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He just went right in. He confronted the enemy. John 20:21, Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. What's the Bible say? As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I've sent them into the world. Our passage, verse 18. We are sent. So let's go. Let's go. We've got a calling, a mission. We've got a job that we dare not back out on. And it's a high and holy calling. And it's given to us. Thus we're sent, so let's go. Sometimes it means I just got to take a few steps and walk across the street and give a tract to that neighbor. that I say, that I wave at every day as he leaves his house or we chit-chat with. I go to him. Who else is going to go? Who else is going to hand him that tract? Who else is going to invite him to church or have the opportunity to invite him to the Lord? Let's just go. It's a high and holy calling. It's given to us, so we go. We read in Romans 13. In fact, turn to Romans 13, if you will. Romans 13, 11. Romans 13, 11. I love this passage, and it's always convicting to me. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time. It's high noon. It's high time to awake out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. Verse 14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Go. All power, all the power of the universe was given to Jesus Christ, and Jesus sends you on a mission for him. Go. Go, he says, teaching all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I'm commanding you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So go, teach all nations, disciple all nations, and that includes the nation in which you and I live, the United States of America. That includes the USA. And we go because we're sent, and we're sent because we're commanded to go. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, 1 John 4. By the way, some believe this verse, Matthew 28, 18, is just for missionaries. And it is. And it is, you see. That's why I said it's for you, because you're a missionary. For you have a mission to tell someone about Jesus Christ and his power to save and his desire to save. We think of missionaries as only being foreign missionaries. Well, there are Christians who travel to foreign countries to tell the lost about Jesus, and they are foreign missionaries. But the only difference between them and you and me is that we're a home missionary. I haven't been sent to France or Poland or Africa or India. Others have. But I've been sent to McPherson, Kansas. 1 John 4, verse 9. 1 John 4, 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son in the world so that we might live through him. God has sent his only begotten Son. And verse 14, we have seen and testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:10, I got these backwards. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And there are so many others. Let me just read off some verses. John 17, 25, these know that you sent me. Verse chapter 17, 23 of John, you sent me. John 17, 18, as you sent me into the world. John 17, 3, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And John 17, 8, you sent me. John 17, 21, you sent me. Six times in John 17, that phrase, sent me, is found. Sent me. And the Greek word is apostello, apostello, and it means send forth, apostello, send forth. And apostle, the Greek word apostle is related to apostello. An apostle is a sent one. An apostle is one who has been sent, and he's sent with a message. So God sends forth sent ones. God sends forth apostello apostles, and that's you and me. We have been sent by God. So the Greek word for apostle is apostolos. An apostolos goes forth with an apostello. So you are the apostolos sent forth with an apostello. Now you know some Greek, right? An apostolos, an apostle goes forth with an apostello, a message. And only sanctified believers are ready to be sent into the world as the Father sent Christ in the world. And the disciple would be the herald of God's grace to the very world that hates them. The world hates believers that want to honor Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we are sent into that very world. Just as Jesus had been sent to the world by his Father, so now the disciples were being sent to the world by Jesus. And just as the Father sent Jesus in the world with a message, so also Jesus sends the disciples in the world with a message. And the message is the same one, redemption in Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. He said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me in the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. So Jesus sanctifies himself, he consecrates himself in order that his followers can be consecrated, sanctified through his truth. And he is able and he so desires to provide complete salvation for his disciples, including the work of the Holy Spirit by whom they are consecrated. And Jesus willingly offers himself so that his disciples may be truly set apart and qualified for the exalted task of preaching the gospel to a world lost in sin. And if the disciples are going to perform their task in a worthy manner, they need to offer up themselves willingly. And that's being consecrated, sanctified for their sake. The verb sanctified in verse 17 and 19, though the same word, has a slightly different meaning. Sanctified, consecrate, verse 17, 19, with regard to the disciples. It has a meaning of a gradual, lifelong process of being sanctified or set apart or consecrated to Christ. You see, we never quite arrive. In God's eyes, our position is one of perfection. We are sanctified, past tense. It's done. We are perfect in Christ. That's our position. But in time, in real life, the day-to-day living of our lives for him is an ongoing process. So our position is perfection. We are sanctified. It's done. We are perfected. That's our position. But our practice is a process. We are being sanctified. So on one hand, I'm sanctified. On the other hand, I am being sanctified. It means we die daily to the flesh. We grow daily in the Spirit. We daily put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We grow, we grow, we grow, right? And we are nurtured by God's Word, by the Holy Spirit, and thus we grow. We pray, we work, we desire with all of our heart to be faithful to him. But we strive, we press onward and upward, and we look ahead and we look up, not fearing or being hindered by everything going around us. And there is so much bad things going on around us. But that doesn't matter, because we're looking up. We're looking onward. We're looking forward. And by the way, we're going to go up, I hope sooner rather than later, and it may be. We're going up. Paul beseeched the Ephesians to walk worthy of the calling with which they were called in Ephesians 4:1. They were told that they needed to put off the former manner of life, the old man which is corrupt, and put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and new holiness and true holiness. And that's what you need to do. Put on the new man. Be sanctified. Grow into the likeness of Christ day by day. Paul in his letter in the Philippians 3:14 said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The upward calling of God. Paul said, I'm pressing on. We're pressing on the upward way, are we not? He said in Colossians 3, you might turn there. Colossians 3 and verse 14. Colossians 3 verse 1. Colossians 3, 1, we read, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're dead to sin. You're alive to Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. That's what's coming. We're going to appear with him in glory. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? We can't begin to fathom it. To appear with Christ in glory, and that's what's going to be ours if we're risen to Christ, if we're sanctified, if we're set apart to him, if we're pressing onward. He said in John 17:19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. The Lord sanctifies himself that we might be sanctified through his truth. His truth is the Bible, the Word of God. We read it, we heed it, we study it, we obey it, we love it. We make it part of our daily routine, the Bible. And then we can be sanctified as we obey the Bible, as we obey God's Word. We are then set apart by his grace that we might be somebody for the Lord, and go somewhere for him, for his glory, and with his message. And I can do that, and you can do that. We're called. We're missionaries. So let's get going. We are sent, so we went. Well, we go. And then we can say, I went, because God sent me. May God help us to obey and to grow and to honor and to be set apart for him and for his glory. It's a high task, a high calling, but God gives grace, God gives strength, God will do it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for these great truths. And we've tried to touch on this, and yet we fall so far short of grasping all of what is here for us. May we just obey as we read it and take heed to the truth that we know, and make it a part of our daily living to be set apart to you, Lord, to go on for you, to honor you, and to seek to win others to Jesus Christ. We can't save anyone, but we can give them that saving message that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners like me and like others, and will save those who come to him. May that be our message. May that be our desire. And we thank you, Lord, for such a high and holy calling. So help us to put on the armor of light and not make provision for the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and honor him. So bless now as we close. May you receive the glory as we continue on. In Jesus' name, amen.